Learning Michtam Eliyahu, Hebrew volume, page 28. Volume 1, page 28. The topic of the class is acquiring the will to come in a moment. So on point number 6, he brings a very famous teaching, which is, it's a Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara says, "Ein ben David bo, ele bedor shekulo zakai o kulo ichayev." Right, it says that the son of David, meaning Mashiach will not come except in a generation that's either all meritorious or all guilty. Not meritorious at all guilty. Kulo ichayev. So this is something that needs explaining. V'zeu bi'advorim. This is the explanation. Aleph. K'shem sh'olim b'sulam kach gam yoydim bo. Just like one can climb a ladder, one can also descend on a ladder. The ladder we're speaking about is the ladder of getting closer to Hashem, getting closer to spirituality from our very physical existence. That's the ladder from our own very, the way we're born is very self-centered, very selfish, very self-conscious, thinking only of ourselves. And to develop ourselves emotionally, spiritually, we climb a ladder. We climb a ladder to greater maturity, spiritual greatness. So that ladder that we climb, just like we can go up the ladder, we can go down the ladder. That's obvious. V'hainu sh'im yorid ha'odah midaga ledaga, which is to say the person can go down from level to level. Oid yuchal lashuv lalois b'derech ha'madregas. If he has gone down, if he has a descent, so he could climb again. Just like he went down, whatever, 5 rungs or 10 rungs, he could go down those, he could go back up those 5 or 10 rungs. As long as there's a condition that he's still on the ladder. If he's gone off the ladder, right, and the ladder's been removed, there's no ladder, so then he can't make it up. As long as you're on the ladder, so even though you've descended, you can ascend again if you're still on the ladder. Even if you're on the bottom rung, you could still go up again as long as you're on the ladder. Which is to say that you haven't yet lost the ability to climb even from the lowest level. If we still have the ability to climb, so we can always climb more. That's number one. Number two, Beis. Kol asher yigle adam yoseh kvod shamayim. The more a person reveals the glory of heaven, and we mentioned earlier that that is the purpose of creation. We're in a world of darkness where Hashem is hidden, Hashem is absent. So our purpose is to reveal the glory of Hashem. We do so through our good acts, through our good thoughts, good speech, etc. So that's what it's about. It's about revealing Hashem in this world. And the more a person reveals the glory of Hashem in this world, gam hanagos yisvoch ima begilu yoseh. So Hashem's conduct with him will also be more open. As the more Hashem is visible in the world, the more Hashem is felt, sensed in the world, so therefore, the clearer the way he interacts with us, the more miraculous is our type of lifestyle. The more we see Hashem, so the more Hashem allows himself to be seen through what he does for us. You know, the more open, the more miraculous is our lifestyle. Shem Matzino. So we find the great tzaddikim merit that Hashem does for them open miracles. Hashem shows them himself, so to speak. The idea is a simple idea, is like the children's game hide and seek. So one kid counts and the other kids hide, and then when you go and look for the kids, you look for the other kids. So when you find one of them, let's say one of the children's hiding behind the couch, the minute you find him, you say, "Oh, I can see you." So once you can see him, there's no point in hiding anymore. There's no point in crouching behind a couch if everyone knows where you are. So the same thing, once we see Hashem, once Hashem becomes visible, so then Hashem doesn't need to hide. Then you can see more, you can see how Hashem helps us in our lives to a much greater degree. So that's what tzaddikim merit. Since tzaddikim see Hashem more, so Hashem is more visible to them. There's more, the more miraculous type of lifestyle. He brings later in the volume how Rav Zundel of Salant, but we know we have an obligation to make an effort to try and earn a living. But by him, Hashem was so clear that the way he made his effort to make a living was to buy a lottery ticket every now and then. Right? When he was running low of funds, he bought a lottery ticket. That was his effort. Right? So there's, you know, that's ridiculous. How can you possibly support yourself on a lottery ticket? Who says you're going to win? But the tzaddikim can, since they see Hashem more, they can expect Hashem to do more miracles for them. They can expect more miracles in their life. Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu even more so, right? The great tzaddikim, Meret Hashem, shows themselves to them. Moshe Rabbeinu zocher shenisgale kvod yisbarach al yodo le'enei kol adam. Moshe Rabbeinu merited that the glory of Hashem should be revealed to all people, as his level of righteousness was such that he could do miracles that others could see, not only private miracles, private help in his own private life, but open miracles that many saw, the splitting of the sea and the giving of the Torah at Sinai, the opening of the seven heavens, the manna that fell heavens for 40 years, open miracles that others could experience. That was the degree that he could reveal Hashem, that others could also see Hashem. He could show others Hashem, not only see it for himself. Sometimes certain things you can see, but no one else can pick up. Like you've got a medical expert, so he looks at your x-ray, so he sees things that, you know, he can't show you. It's just, he knows what's there. He sees things you don't see. So tzaddikim see things that other people don't see. But a very great tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu, not only does he see it, but he can show it to the world. The whole world can see it through him. He can reveal it to the world. And therefore Hashem can do open miracles in the world that everyone can see. Yetzias Mitzrayim, like the Exodus of Egypt, Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the sea, Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah of the Oyed, etc. Gimel. Kol Hashem Yabe Adam Lastir Kvod Hashem. Now the opposite. The more a person hides the glory of Hashem, through evil actions and evil choices, he acts in a very selfish, self-centered way, and in a very cruel way to others, and therefore it's a grab world. You know, whatever he can, you know, whoever grabs more gets more. So therefore, there's no Hashem in the world. There's no justice in the world. There's no glory of Hashem in the world. There's no help of Hashem in the world. The more he hides the glory of Hashem through his actions, so Hashem hides his honor from this individual. And a person who is very, turns away from Hashem, so Hashem doesn't help him at all. It's more hidden. It's more hidden Hashem's kindness to him. This is the idea of exile. In exile, right, the Jewish people in exile, so Hashem is less revealed than when it's in a situation of redemption. Redemption is, Hashem is, has saved us, rescued us, so then we see him more. Exile, we've been banished from his presence, so that we see him less. It's more dark. It's darker. Hashem tzeich negolus hashchina. The exile really, in terms of its understanding, its deeper understanding, is the exile of the divine presence. When we go into exile, it's not so much that we're in exile, but that the divine presence is in exile. We don't see the divine presence anymore. We live in a totally material, physical world where there isn't heavenly help. Tough luck, TL, tough luck. You just have to survive yourself, right? No one's helping you. Shegam shem shemayim mischalo. And that creates a profaning of the name of Hashem. That's an abasing. It lowers the glory of Hashem, because it becomes, you know, the race is won by the fastest, the speediest. He wins the race, right? The greediest has all the money, and the strongest gets, you know, hurts other people, takes advantage of other people, and the weak must suffer, because it's a world where Hashem's presence is absent, and therefore it's you know, the strongest gets all and the weakest must suffer. Right, there's a verse that reflects the state of the Shekhinah being absent. where the goyim turn to the Jews and say, "Where's your gods? You know, where are your gods? Why didn't Hashem come to help you? You know, you're the people of Hashem. Why didn't He help you? You see how you were taken advantage of. You see how you were oppressed." So that's called Golus. It's called Golus HaShechinah. The exile is the exile of the Divine Presence. We don't feel the Divine Presence as if it does. It's almost like He's not there. V'yesh b'zeh toilus rabba. And there is a benefit in this as well. Ki k'sheyaskel la'alus pedagus mimadregos ha'namucha. And that is when one starts to climb again on the ladder. You start doing actions which draw you closer to Hashem. And you climb the ladder step by step, even from the lowest of steps. So then the glory of Hashem also rises slowly, slowly. Now the advantage of the darkness is that when you start doing acts of goodness, so you start seeing more light. You can actually see results. You can actually see consequences to your action. You know, I'm trying harder. And I see the fruits of my labors. I'm seeing there's more of a light. It's the sun is starting to shine a little bit. The sun has risen. It's not totally dark anymore. And this is that a person can find the help of Hashem even when he's living a natural type of lifestyle, natural circumstances. Even in exile, right? You can be even in the most remote place in the world, the most foreign place in the world, but even there, in the most darkest place in the world, you can have this salvation, you can have this private salvation. Kesheponu el Hashem, we spell el love Yoshem, right? We turn to Hashem, we daven to Him, and He saves us. So we have that ability. So in other words, from the darkest of places, that we can also climb, and we can also enjoy this revelation. And this is a revelation that comes from a hiddenness. Even though Hashem is hidden, so He peeks out at us slightly, and we see it. We see it. He shows Himself somewhat to us. This matches the level of revelation of a person's actions that he starts to climb. As he climbs, so Hashem reveals Himself more. So the more we climb, the more Hashem reveals Himself. The lower we climb, if we climb down the ladder, the more Hashem hides Himself. The higher our actions, the more visible He is, the lower our actions. The more lowly and more physical, material are our actions, so the more hidden He is. Dalet. Dosha kula chayev. Now, let's get back to our teaching. Again, we said, Mashiach will only come in a generation that's all meritorious. Or all non-meritorious. So there's no merit at all. A generation that's totally has no merit at all. So now, obviously, the first part we understand. If we're all meritorious, right? We're all acting in a very lofty way, a very high way, very beautiful way, very righteous. We're a righteous nation, so we understand. There's a great revelation, right? There's a great kiddush Hashem in our actions. We have revealed Hashem through our actions, and Hashem He reveals Himself to the world. That we understand. We understand that if we're all righteous, a righteous people, that we will see the Mashiach. We will see the redemption. That's obvious. But what does the opposite mean? Right? When we're totally guilty, we're totally in the dark, we're totally in the black, then He also reveals Himself. If we're totally guilty, 100% guilty, then also there's a salvation. How does that work? And the explanation is as follows. Dor shekula chayev, a generation that is totally guilty, totally in the dark, this is a generation where there's no longer any hope that we can climb on the ladder anymore. It's just, we're too lost. We're too much in the dark. We can't even find the ladder. We can't see the ladder. We say there's no ladder. There's no ladder. Where's the ladder? There's no ladder. And therefore there's no more benefit to extend the exile. Because it's not helping us. The darkness is not helping us to find. Right? We're no longer searching for the light. We've given up hope. We're no longer searching for the light. So therefore, that darkness doesn't really help us to come closer to Hashem anymore. Va'az. And then, Hakadosh Baruch Hu ma'amid lehem melech He sets up against us a king, a leader, world leader, whose decrees are as harsh as Haman's decrees. Haman tried to destroy the entire Jewish people, and there were others subsequently. And in modern times, you have Yimach Shemo, Hitler, right? So Hashem sets up a king or a leader whose decrees are extremely harsh, extremely harsh. Yisrael oisim tshuva, and Yisrael then do tshuva, they repent, umachzir numutav, and he brings them back to being in a good state. He brings them back to a good state. And this has to be understood. Oisim tshuva umachzir numutav, right? They do tshuva, and he returns them to a good state. After they do tshuva, he returns them to a good state. Who's returning us to a good state? What? Haman's returning us to a good state. Haman's going to restore our favorable life situation. Haman's going to help us after we do tshuva. Certainly not. Right? Who brings us back? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Does it mean Hashem's bringing us back? Well, Havil HaKosher Kehaman. Or the harsh ruler who's harsh as Haman. This is the truth. When we have a very harsh leader like Haman, their heart breaks in their midst. There's heartbreak. They suffer heartbreak. But they see the cruelty and the severity and the harshness, the darkness of the decrees of this evil leader. So their heart breaks. There's heartbreak. This is what happens. There's heartbreak. When we spell him and they start praying. They start doubling. They start praying to Hashem. Appealing to Hashem. Hashem is Baruch Hashiroi Shemavakshim Lasas Tshuva. And when Hashem sees that they want to do tshuva, they want Hashem back. They say, look, we need you. We have no other choice. Please help us. Avatash Koicham Ilalu Is Besulam. But they don't have any strength to climb the ladders. They're turning now to Hashem. But they're turning, but they have no strength. You know, they're like the legless person, the handicapped person at the bottom of the ladder. He says, please, please help me. I can't climb this ladder at all myself. I don't have the ability to climb this ladder. But please help me. He cries out, please help me. As hu yisbach machziran b'tshuva. Then Hashem brings them back with tshuva. Hashem does a miracle, which as we mentioned before, this is the second way of climbing the ladder. The one way to climb the ladder is with your own efforts, your own hands and feet. Right, or with a stick, with help, right? But you climb, you crawl up the ladder yourself. The other way is you just cry, you cry and cry, and then Hashem brings you up automatically. He brings you up himself. He brings them up himself. And then he brings the Mashiach with great revelations. And for this reason, Mashiach cannot come either in a generation that's all meritorious, which is a generation that by itself merits the revelation of Mashiach, because they've done such beautiful acts, they're acting in such a beautiful way, in such an elevated way, so they deserve the Mashiach to show himself, or kulei chayev, or a generation that's all guilty, all in the dark, where the exile now becomes purposeless, just to create suffering, becomes purposeless because it's not helping anymore. The person's totally broken. He's not. See, you can't move him anymore. Flogging a dead horse is the expression, right? So it's when a horse is still moving and you whip it, so it'll go move a little bit faster. But if the horse is already dead, you can whip it. You know, you can whip it day and night. It won't move. So therefore, when the Jewish people are totally broken, so then the exile no longer can help to motivate them that they should move themselves. As Hashem is Baruch Ma'aleihim, then HaKadosh Baruch himself elevates us. Acha shenishba liboy, after their hearts are broken, umevi Mashiach al yodoy, and he brings the Mashiach through his actions, through this evil leader. And as the evil leader Hashem sends, the wicked, the cruel leader Hashem sends is the stick, so to speak. Hashem is the master, and the Jewish people is the horse, and the stick is the evil leader. The Haman is the stick that he beats them. So therefore, if the horse is moving, he prods them slightly. But if the horse is not moving at all, so therefore he beats them till they cry out. Right, their heart is broken and they cry out to Hashem. And then when they cry to Hashem, they turn to Hashem. So he can save them the other way. There are two ways to climb the ladder. Right? So the second way is just through crying to Hashem, appealing to Hashem. Our hearts are broken. We see that there's really no one to turn to. No one's going to help us. There's no one to... The nations of the world are totally uninterested. Right? There's no one who's going to help us. We have no strength anymore. No one to trust in. So then we can only trust in Hashem. Then we turn to Hashem with a full heart, and He saves us in a miraculous way. Point number seven. Now this is the explanation of what we started with this whole class. It wasn't to ask questions that we came. When we started this, right, we started off this essay with a number of questions. But we're not coming for the sake, we're not coming to question Hashem. When we ask questions, we're not trying to question Hashem. Ki yesharim darkei Hashem, because the ways of Hashem are straight. Bli sofek, or certainly are straight. The way Hashem does things is certainly straight. But what does it mean it's straight? It's straight to Hashem. We don't always see that it's straight. The ways of Hashem are straight, but we don't always value the fact that they're straight, because we ourselves are crooked sometimes. Sometimes we're crooked, it doesn't seem to be they're straight. Right? For instance, let's say you do a good deed, you did a good deed, act of kindness, and you got a slap in the face. Right? So they say, well, you know, right? What did I do it for? So, right? So you have a question. I did this beautiful act, and I got a slap in the face. But you say, no, the ways of Hashem are straight. Must be I was deserving that slap in the face. I don't know why. I don't understand it, but I understand it must be the right thing, because Hashem's running the world. So it must be I had to receive that slap in the face. Right? Now the wicked, they stumble on the ways of Hashem, because they refuse to try and understand the ways of Hashem. So they say there's no justice. Look, I did a good act. I got a slap in the face. No justice. Hashem doesn't run the world. There's no justice. It's just it's all random, and it's all up to you. Know, the strongest wins the race. Yeah. They have questions on Hashem. They challenge Hashem. Right. There's no justice in the world. This is not fair. The way you're running the world is not a fair way. Right. Obviously, you're not in control. But tzaddikim yelchu bom. But tzaddikim, on those same ways that the wicked stumble on, because they say the justice of Hashem is crooked, the ways of Hashem are perverted, the tzaddikim walk along those same ways. Right? Because they make a lesson out of Hashem's conduct. Right? In other words, I did a good act, I got a slap in the face, what can I learn from this? How can I improve my ways? What have I done wrong? I thought I was doing right. But maybe I didn't do it so as well as I could have. I thought I was doing such a good thing, but maybe it wasn't so good. Maybe my motivations weren't right. Maybe the way I did it, maybe someone was hurt along the way. You know, he's rushing to do a mitzvah. He knocks down 15 people in the way, right? So, you know, he thinks he's a big tzaddik, right? But look what he's doing. So therefore, what can I learn from this? Is the way of the tzaddikim. I did a good act. I got a slap in the face. What can I learn from this? From that slap in the face, what do I learn? Shamishvot emes. The ways of Hashem are true. Hu aboichen libois, and He tests our hearts. Horoyet teichen matzav kol adam. He knows the inner workings of a person. He knows exactly our motivations. Exactly why we do what we do. It's unbelievable. It's incredible, and it's with tremendous precision. Right, you often find that you're doing something very well, and you stop for a second to give yourself a pat on the back. You say, "Wow, I'm really performing well. Look how well I'm working today." You give yourself a pat on the back, and that moment you do something stupid. That moment the dish falls from your hand and shatters to the floor. Right, just that very moment. It's uncanny how absolutely precise it is. Right, right. Who you start giving credit to yourself, you get a little slap on your wrist. So that's the way of tzaddikim, is that they learn from the conduct of Hashem. Why did Hashem respond to my actions in this way? What can I learn from it? And a person sees according to his own inclinations. Why did I think that I was doing the right thing? Because I'm biased. I have certain biases in me, and that's why I do things in a certain way, because I favor some over others, and I'm not impartial. I'm not a fair judge myself. in my own conduct, we're also judges in our own lives. We make all sorts of decisions all day long how to conduct ourselves, right? And, right, if a pauper knocks at the door, and you make a decision, do I give him, you know, 1 shekel, do I give him 5 shekels, do I give him 10 shekels, you're busy deciding, you're ruling, you know, you're the big judge, you're making a decision, which is a type of judgment. And our judgments are flawed because we are biased, we're prejudiced towards ourselves, we're prejudiced towards our own interests. And therefore, only if we're willing to learn from the ways of the way Hashem conducts Himself, will we understand the truth of our spiritual state, as we're not as great sometimes as we think we are, we're not as holy and good as we think we are, and therefore we can learn, we can understand ourselves better without making errors and without imaginations that, you know, the person has certain, imagines things to be a certain way. Just because you think it's like that doesn't mean it's going to be like that. That's the truth. So therefore, to get away from error, we have to learn. And what do we learn from? We learn from the ways of Hashem. So that's the teaching. The ways of Hashem are straight. The way Hashem runs the world is 100% fair, just, straight, 100% straight. Right? The wicked stumble on them because it doesn't make sense to them. Doesn't make sense. So obviously there's no God or whatever else they say. Right? But the righteous learn from them. What can we learn? How can we improve ourselves from the messages we're getting? We're getting back feedback. We're acting in a certain way and we're getting feedback. And we're being told how well we should perform. And therefore we can adjust our flight pattern and make improvements. And through that one can rise to the highest of heights. Now, to get back to the very original question, we started off this whole class, this whole essay. When we see that Hashem has taken away from us the lo lishmo, we mentioned in the beginning of the class that the way to serve Hashem for the sake of Hashem, for the sake of heavens, is to start off to do it for ourselves, lo lishmo. Right? In other words, there has to be some motivation. We have to move the animal. We have to motivate the lower part of ourselves. So we need the lo lishma, not for the sake of heavens. We need the little prize, the cookie. Right? We had the example that he brought, how they used to get up on Friday nights to learn Torah, and obviously they got up for the learning, but there was also the prize of the cookies, right? He knew that there'd be cookies, there'd be coffee. It was a delicious experience. In other words, you motivate your lower self with little prizes. So that itself is the ladder. That's the ladder. The ladder is all of the elements of this world. This world is the ladder, but when you can climb it. Not that it's a ladder that leads you to a pit. Not the ladder that's leading you down. It's a ladder that's leading you up. So therefore, the elements of this world which you use to motivate yourself to be a more a better person, to act in a better way. So that's called the ladder. So therefore, if you get a prize for doing the right thing, or if you get recognition for doing the right thing, if people will applaud you for doing the right thing, or they'll pay you for doing the right thing, all of this is the ladder. All of this is the ladder, which helps us to do good acts, because we get to receive little motivations along the way, little prizes along the way, and that helps us to climb the ladder. So we said that's absolutely essential. It's totally essential because we are in a very low state. We start at the bottom of the ladder. We all start at the bottom of the ladder, and therefore we all need this assistance to help climb the ladder. Where Hashem has taken away the assistance? Why? Where's this ladder? Why has the ladder disappeared? We're not being motivated to, right? A person does good acts, no prizes, no recognition, no awards, no prize, no wages, no money. So where the ladder has been removed, so therefore what's happening? We can't climb. It's very, very difficult. He was speaking about his times. His times was the Second World War, where just before that the Bolsheviks had taken over in Russia. They closed all the yeshivas. To learn Torah was, you could get the death penalty, you could be thrown in jail for learning Torah. So, and to be a rabbi was to be spat on. To be a frum Jew was to be laughed at, to be spat on. He was nothing, right? It was all embarrassing. In our times also, a person doesn't get recognition for being a frum Jew, right? You know, people just sneer at us. The general world out there, the general world, and not just the Goyish world, the secular Jewish world also has a certain sneers at us to a certain degree. So there's the motivation to be good people is much less than it used to be, or it's non-existent. And we ask why. Why is Hashem taking away the ladder? Why is Hashem taking away the ladder? Yisoga lefanein rachman atzlan kimat dalsus kol ha-yeshivas ha-kadosh. He's closed almost all of the doors of the yeshivas. That's in his times. Baruch Hashem, in our times, the yeshivas are opening. But still, it's not that simple. It's not that simple. Those who hold on to the Torah lifestyle have to suffer difficult tests and bitterness. They have to suffer all types of bitterness in order to keep Torah, to keep Shabbos, to keep the kashrus, etc. Right? There are unbelievable stories of people during the Holocaust or in Soviet Russia, the type of sacrifices they had to try and make to keep even the smallest mitzvahs, even in the most minimal way, they had to really, literally endanger themselves. So it seems Hashem removed the ladder. It's very hard to climb because there's no motivation. There's no joy in climbing. It's just a very, very bitter climb. He's taken the ladder away from us. And why? Now that was our original question. And that's the question that turns the wicked away. The wicked say, oh, you see, Hashem's not helping us to be frum. So obviously we don't need to be frum. We don't need to be frum Jews because there's no... It's not possible. It doesn't make a difference. It doesn't help. Right? If I'll be frum or not frum, if I'll keep my business open on Shabbos, I'll earn more money. If I close my business on Shabbos, I'll lose money. I may lose the business even. So, you know, why should I be frum? So why is Hashem taking away this ladder? Why are we not getting this motivation? And the answer is, and here the answer is exactly what we just said before. Right? How we've fallen so greatly, but Torah avodas Hashem, we've fallen. So we had such a tremendous spiritual fall in terms of our Torah, study of Torah, observance of Torah, the service of Hashem. We should enter elis lanu b'sulam. The ladder can't help us because no one's climbing the ladder. If we're all legless and armless, so you can give us all the ladders in the world, we can't climb them. It doesn't help. The ladder is, there's no point in giving us a ladder because we're not going to climb the ladder. So therefore, there's no ladder. Hashem doesn't give us a ladder when you don't need it. We can't even climb one step on the ladder. At the same time, Rabu Tsarisenu Lamala Rosh, at the same time we have tremendous grief, tremendous trouble, tsaris, all sorts of troubles and problems, right? In the time that he's writing, certainly. And today also we have problems. People are sick, people have financial problems, Shalom Bayis problems, all sorts of problems, troubled kids problems. Because she was saying study the Chayulamazeh. And it's become a situation where our major drive is to be set up in this world, where people's main dream is to have a dream house and dream car and dream clothing, dream holidays, right? That's their main dreams, is that this world should be wonderful for us. Mm-hmm. We should have it all set up in this world. I should have the ideal lifestyle in terms of the physical material world. So therefore people have turned their thoughts towards being comfortable in this world, lives of pleasure, shel oineg venachas, and luxury and comfort. Mutolus kekelim shvurim lefoneinu. So therefore that was really the situation. So that was what was broken. But those dreams, in other words, the harsh king that rose against the Jewish people was to break those dreams. And when Hashem is breaking those dreams, right, suddenly things are not working so well. And we can't foresee ourselves comfortable lives in luxurious, comfortable, pleasant lives in this world. It's all been broken, as it was in time of war. And to a degree in our times also. This is clear to us. We only have one path left. If the ladder is removed, the one option is removed completely, so we only have the second option. If the first option, the option of climbing the ladder, has been taken away because there is no ladder, There's no more ladder anymore. There's no assistance to make our gradual climbing of our own personal service. So we're only left with a second option, lasum datein lashuv, to turn our thoughts to repent, to do tshuva. As we yisbog yaleinu, and then Hashem will elevate us. So this is the generation that's all liable, and that's the generation that more fits. Right? We mentioned that the Mashiach will come in, right, with a generation either fully meritorious or fully liable. So our description is closer to the generation that's all liable. Hashem at that point is encouraging us to do tshuva, that we should cry out to Him, we should turn to Him and cry out to Him to save us. And that way there can be a miraculous salvation like we've spoken up to now. Right? From the deepest darkness, Hashem can save us. Ches, point number 8. How do we do this? How do we do tshuva? How do we merit this salvation? How do we acquire our eternity in a single moment of repentance? A single moment of repentance. Surely tshuva is something very difficult. To repent, turn around, to do a total turnaround. That we now, from moving away from Hashem, from moving towards the physical world, we're now going to move totally towards Hashem. We're going to turn around and start moving towards Hashem. We're returning. Tshuva is returning to Hashem. Returning to Hashem. Isn't that very difficult? It isn't almost impossible. He says, no, Aval Einokan, it's not true. It's not difficult at all. Matzaveinu, in our situation, right, when there's so many difficulties in terms of our physical well-being, our material well-being, kalhu bo'od, it becomes very easy. But when there's nothing else, so then it becomes very easy, because that's the only option left. Right? If a person's sitting in a jail and there's no way to get out, and it's all locked, and there's no one on the outside trying to help him, then what can he do? The only thing is to turn to Hashem. So it's very easy to turn to Hashem. Right? When the situation is very rough and raw, it becomes very easy. Mamish kechut asar, it's like a hair's breadth. It's like stepping over a hair, which is a very simple act. We just won't be fools. And we won't be crazy. Firstly, we'll know that it all came from Hashem. All the tzoros, all the troubles that fall on us, fall around us, are all from Hashem. All of those things, all that lifestyle that we love so much, it's all been closed, it's all been sealed up. All those wonderful things that we used to have access to are suddenly shut off, shut down from us. These ways where we put all of our drives and all of our strengths into following these idolatries. The lifestyle we pursued, right? The lifestyle that we strove for, right? To become a successful professional, and succeed with higher education, and to become very wealthy, and to live a very comfortable lifestyle. All of that, a lot of those roads are being blocked off, and access to these roads, the roads have seemingly not have been blocked, those roads, they've disappeared. The roads that have disappeared, a lifestyle. We see a lifestyle slipping away from before us, which used to be a dream. We see dreams, shattered dreams, dreams of doing well in this world and being very comfortable in this world, being very affluent in this world. We see those dreams just becoming crumbling. The options are just falling down in front of us. Those lifestyles, ikdashnum lavoid zorishal kesev zov, those lifestyles where we sanctified ourselves, where before we devoted ourselves to the idolatry of amassing silver and gold, we know lamadnu lidoig daigas panosas haguf, where from our youngest years we were trained to worry about earning an income. Right? You take a little 3-year-old, you say, oh, you'll be the doctor, and you'll take the 4-year-old, you'll be the lawyer. Right? So therefore, from your youngest years, we were fed. We were fed these hopes of doing very well in the physical world. And to this we gave our strength to these pursuits, these dreams. Sha'afner rachfus hano v'chay ulam azeh oid v'oid. And where our dreams were, our pursuit was to enlarge the pleasures and comforts of this physical world. That's it, more and more and more. Even we who were frum, amongst the frum, we also followed these ways. The secular world was all pursuing secular wealth and delights and pleasures. And we also were going along those ways. The frum world was also following along those ways. My betaki nichsa b'nafshera, they were also hoping for material progress. So now he says, my betaki nichsa b'nafshera m'noi makiloi bonu hayu makshova salali, because it doesn't profit to us say, oh, that's them, it's not us. We were also guilty of such types of thoughts, right? I'll have such a house, and I'll have such a furnishings, and I'll have such a lifestyle. But we also had, you know, together with our frumkeit, we also were hoping for, we also been dreaming of material well-being. Right? And what happened in the meantime to our drive to serve Hashem, our whole ambition of coming closer to Hashem, that got diluted, that got watered down. We're just trying to bribe Hashem. We'll do a little bit of service, and then you give it to us good in this world, right? So our whole service of Hashem, right? In that state of pursuing this world, that our service of Hashem became a way of trying to buy Hashem, right? I'll come to shul, and then you give me a nice house, right? And I'll do a mitzvah. Then I'm doing it for this world. I'm serving you, Hashem, but it's for this world. Where the whole focus is in terms of a good lifestyle in this world. So therefore, we've also been guilty, right? We who are the from Jews, we've also been guilty of striving for the comforts and pleasures and luxuries of this world. Look into the depths. We need to look into the depths of our hearts. We'll see that this is true. Now, let the selfish, wicked person abandon his ways. We have to change our life view. We have to change our direction. Right? Now that we see that it's all hopeless, it's useless, automatically we let it go. Now that we see that our salvation does not lie in the comforts and pleasures and the happiness of this physical world, so we leave off all of our thoughts, all of our scheming, all of our plans, all of our hopes, all of our lists, etc. Yashlichem ayonenu ki lo yo'ilu lanu. Throw out these ideas because they're not helping us. Yisyaish v'lasigam. Let's give up hope. Let's abandon trying to achieve this type of prosperity, this type of physical material wealth. Ki gad Hashem lefenenu eskol hadrochim olam. Because Hashem is blocking up all these paths, these alternative paths to a good life in this world. Hashem has blocked many of those paths. They're just closing up. They just closed down. Those roads are disappearing. But as Yoshua, and then let's return to Hashem. Hashem is Bori Kabu Mehero Yachamelu Yaleu Lomala. And Hashem will speedily receive our tshuva and elevate us to the highest of levels. So really what we're talking about here is doing tshuva. Doing tshuva is just really a turnaround. In other words, if you walk along a road, so you can walk, let's say a road that's going from north to south. So you can either walk from, right, let's say in the middle of the road, you can either walk in the north direction, you walk in the south. All the time you've been walking north, 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 right? You've been working towards, dreaming of this world, finding the comforts of this world, the pleasures of this world, the luxuries of this world. You've been walking on that road, but now you suddenly see that road's being blocked. You can't go on that road anymore. So what must we do? We have to turn around, turn direction. Now stop looking north, start looking south. Now stop looking towards this world, start looking towards the heavens, start looking towards the closeness to Hashem. Start looking for miracles, start looking for Hashem's involvement in the world, the revelation of Hashem's world. Let's look for a different lifestyle where success is defined by closeness to Hashem. Success is defined by the quality of our prayers and the quality of our mitzvahs and the love we feel for Hashem and the desire to get closer to Hashem. That's the turnaround, and it's really very simple. It's just swivel around. Instead of looking for success in terms of the physical world, look for success in terms of the spiritual world. Look for the success of being good people, holy people, loving people, loving Hashem, loving our fellow Jews, devoting our thoughts to closeness to Hashem, where we see eternity as being the real ultimate goal, and we strive for that eternity, we strive for the heavens, and we leave off this world as being a goal to reach for.